water replenishment. And if you would all please rise with me. And I would like to ask Mehul Patel to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Lord. Thank you. Madam Clerk, could you please conduct a roll call?
Roll call, Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Wonka. Director Green. Director Gallagher.
Here.
Director Tran. Director Schauver.
Here.
Director Yeo. Director Uten.
Here.
Director Dina Nguyen. Director Andrew Nguyen.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Burns. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. I'm always amazed how many ways Director Vanka is saying,
I'm sorry.
You accept them all, though. The time is now for visitor participation. If there's anyone here who wishes to address the committee at this time, seeing no takers in house, Madam Clerk, are there any hands raised?
There are none.
So with that, we'll go to the consent calendar. Consists of one item.
Roll call, Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Vanka.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Gallagher.
Yes.
Director Schauver.
Yes.
Director Uten.
Yes.
That motion carries with six yes votes.
We have four informational items, the first of which is GWRS operating budget summary.
A brief PowerPoint presentation.
Great.
Right. Good evening, members of the committee. As some of you may know, I've been on the committee for longer periods than others. As part of our joint operating agreement between the Orange County Water District and the Orange County Sanitation District, we have a provision in the agreement where once a year, the Water District presents the operating budget for the upcoming year that would be used to fund the operation and maintenance of the GWRS. And this is in a done in order to show that the water district's properly maintaining and operating the facility and protecting the investment that OC San paid half the capital cost for on the original 70 MGD GWRS project back in 2008. So the water district, the way that our budgeting process works, it's during the April 2nd board meeting of our board that we approve our formal budget. So between January and April, the staff develops the budget with the GM, and now we're at a point where we're ready to present our budget at the second board meeting in April for the Orange County Water District Board of Directors. So tonight we'll be presenting what we have for our fiscal year 24-25 budget to show to the committee, show the differences between this current year and last current year and what our production goals will be, and then give anyone a chance to comment at the end. So just to review us, as I mentioned, this is done each year. We've kind of designated the April meeting because that makes the most sense. That's right when we're developing the budget and getting ready to approve it for the upcoming fiscal year. The Water District has a general fund, and the general fund is there to provide day-to-day operational expenses for all the different departments at the Water District. But in particular, the department that's in charge of operating, maintaining the groundwater replenishment system, as well as our Green Acres facility and our facilities maintenance itself, is what we call our Water Production Department. So that's the budget that we're going to show and some features of that. And then the Water District also has what's called a Refurbishment Replacement Fund, or what we refer to as R&R. And that's there to fund long-term maintenance, not just of GWRS and our Green Acres, but also all of our different facilities, both here and our recharge facilities in Anaheim. And we have a budget of roughly $11 million upcoming for fiscal year 24-25. And a lot of that has to do with ongoing refurbishment and replacement within the treatment plant, including membrane replacements, which is a big expense that comes up year to year as we slowly go through and change out microfiltration and reverse osmosis membranes and try to spread that over multiple years. So production-wise, when the groundwater replenishment system completed the final expansion last year, there's a goal of 134,000 acre feet. That's operating the around 130 MGD or close to 130 MGD with a certain amount of percentage for online factor to account for planned outages for PM events. For 24-25 fiscal year, the upcoming fiscal year, which starts July 1st, we're having a projected goal of 128,000 acre feet. And I'll get into that in our next item, the operational summary. But really, we wanted to bring the production level a little bit down because we have some upcoming projects that are going to limit production, along with the fact that a recent phenomenon we're seeing, as we saw in parts of last year, is we've gotten so much rain that we really don't have recharge capacity in our recharge basins to put the full production into our recharge basins because we have such high groundwater levels, not only here along the coast, but also into our principal aquifer. So we'll get into that a little bit. And that's what the third bullet is kind of trying to summarize there. And an example of that is OCSAN actually called for a code blue status earlier this year, January 31st, which is essentially preparation for a high storm event that could bring a large amount of flows to both plant one and plant two, and in anticipation, planning for that hydraulic relief by freeing up capacity in the collection system and in both treatment plants. So that's all part of this good news that overall of having two excessively high precipitation rain event years. We're already above our yearly average at the water district that we measure up at our recharge facilities in Anaheim. And then with the final expansion, we know that as we bring in more and more of the plant two flows with the higher alkalinity and higher salinity, that we'll need not only more energy to run the RO when we're at full capacity, but potentially more chemical, especially sulfuric acid, to buffer the pH of the feed water as it goes into the RO. And then, as Sand District also knows, electricity prices, power prices continue to climb, even with direct access or fixed price contracts. It's the fees, the adders, the resource capacity, all these different fees that are tacked on continue to go up year to year. And that we don't see that trend stopping anytime soon. That's all part of California's bid to go to 100% renewable energy and increase the capacity of the grid. And then we continue to operate at a high online factor, which if we can do that, then that limits our downtime, increases our production, and that ultimately will reduce the unit cost of the water. So some of the issues that allow us to have relatively stable costs year to year, even as we've expanded the groundwater replenishment system, first and foremost is we still get a very high quality secondary effluent from the Orange County Sanitation District. It's well stabilized, it's low ammonia content, it has low solids content, and that's what allows us to operate at our projected flow rates through our both of our microfiltration and reverse osmosis treatment processes. We do, as a water district, participate in a demand response program. That's a voluntary program where we volunteer to shed load or decrease production, shed our electrical load during peak events, typically in summer when there's a heat wave, and then we get paid up to $1 million a year, whether we shed load or not just depends on how many events are called. And typically, there's usually only one a year, but about 3 years ago, we had four or five, and they're usually really short, under two hours in duration. And the way our contract's set up, we go down to 25 MGD of production, and that helps us shed almost 15 megawatts of instantaneous load. And then we get paid for that through a program with a company called NLX. And then we continue to have a robust maintenance and asset management program to try to keep track of assets as they age. We, as you know, some of you know, some of our assets are almost 20 years old that were built as part of the interim water factory and first phase of GWRS. And then the R&R program helps with that, obviously, by having it funded at the proper amount each year to pay for these large expenses like membrane replacements or sudden failures of large mechanical equipment. And then we have a lot of years of experience, both us and the sanitation district, to know what we're getting ourselves into and what to expect. And then our focus has always been on the O&M side, focus on the RO process, because it's the highest power consumption process. That's where most of our operating costs are sunk, is to operate the RO as efficiently as possible. So some of the things that we're trying to do that help control costs year to year is we do have what's called a Joint Operations Committee. This has gone on since day one, even before 2008, where we meet monthly, myself, chief operator from OCSAN, and we discuss issues, not only water quality issues, but construction events that may affect flow or quality of flow to GWRS, and we try to coordinate that on a month-to-month basis, in addition to daily coordination between the operators and the maintenance departments. And then we've tried to minimize impacts to each other by trying to plan our maintenance events so they overlap whenever possible. There is a lot going on. There was a lot going on here, but now there's a lot going on at OC Sand Plant 2 because of ongoing capital improvement and refurbishment projects at Plant 2. So we need to coordinate that. And then, you know, OC Sand has continued to optimize the collection system quality and respond whenever we may see different contaminants that may spike in the collection system and make their way to GWRS to avoid those from being an issue for our treatment process. So if we get down to brass tacks, you see the current fiscal year budget, what we call 23-24, as compared to what's going to be recommended to our board for approval at the second board meeting in April as our fiscal year 24-25 budget. This is just a summary. There are other costs, but these are the main components that make up the water production department and the expenses in the department. So this is instrumentation, electrical, maintenance, operations, barrier operations, and distribution. So you see the big jump here. There is some jump in salary. Obviously, we have cost of living, other things that have that affect that year to year. Supply and maintenance is roughly the same. Power, like I talked about, is the big one where we're seeing this increase in power rates and associated fees with our rates, especially our Edison distribution transmission fees. So we've tried to account for that. And then treatment chemicals, we've actually finally seen a decrease in commodity prices after the whole COVID and supply chain issues. We went out for five major chemicals end of last year, and they were all lower. This is the first time in probably 4 years that we've had all of the chemicals come in lower than the previous prices. So that has helped quite a bit, and that helps offset the increase in power. And then, as I mentioned before, we think this credit for the demand response is probably going to be closer to $1 million. It was 900,000, but we think it's going to be $1 million because we have more load to shed now that we're in our final expansion and we used more power than we did before the final expansion came online. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions the committee might have.
Yes, Director Schaffer.
Have we explored partnering up with OC Sand with their biosolids to produce gas for generators on a large scale? That's the first part of it. Number two, have we looked at solar panels? We have quite a bit of square acreage here, and place them strategically around the plant to help offset some of the costs.
Yeah, I don't know, Rob, you want to tackle the first one or you want me? And I can tackle the second.
We the Sand District, only have 60% of our power needs met with the gas we make, and we utilize all the gas. Even with food waste, which we're looking to do to increase gas production, we still don't anticipate being a net exporter of power, especially here at Plant 1, where we have the smaller of the SenGen units. It's limited to 5 megawatts of capacity, which is well under our need. So there's no easy way for us to make that electricity available. We'd have to buy it also.
What about importation?
We're both importing, and they have a 66 kV substation.
But if we build a larger if we build a larger system here together with this agency over the years, as the price of electricity goes up, it probably be cost saving for us to have another way to develop an energy source here at this location.
We have studied it, and the problem is that using natural gas as a fuel supply for that electricity producing station is problematic in the long term anyway. It's becoming less cost advantageous to use natural gas as a generating fuel because of the environmental costs that go with it, mm-hmm. and the lack of infrastructure in the state of California to import more natural gas.
And solar panels?
For us in particular, we've had two detailed studies done, and both have showed that the payback was over 15 years because our load is constant and high. And even with all the square footage, we're lucky if we get anywhere near 3/4 to 1 megawatt, and we have about 19 megawatts of connected load. So we just can't even make a dent in it, even with the amount of square footage we have for solar to pay for it.
Cost you're talking about putting the infrastructure in?
Yeah, the cost of the panels themselves and then the infrastructure to house them on different buildings. We have a lot of buildings with high parapets and slope roofs, so they need to be tilting style. But even with that, we just don't have enough square footage to make a dent in the amount of power that we need day to day just to run GWS at its full capacity.
Because I know at this time, both the federal government and the state do have programs that might be able to fund that through grants. I know we're probably on top of that, but that may be a way to augment the cost for infrastructure improvements. Anyway.
Yeah, and we're always on the lookout for those grant programs, and we do get approached by power suppliers with different grant programs. So we always look, we always take their calls and see what they can offer. I think we scare most off when we tell them what the load is and that it doesn't fluctuate day to night and it's consistent, but I'm sure something will come one of these days, yeah.
Rob, do we have, I know we have that large capacity in our storage batteries. We use that off peak then, or what?
We paid nothing for our battery storage system. And because of that, we don't have a lot of flexibility. We don't operate it. It's operated at the behest of Southern California Edison for their benefit.
And we need to put in another one. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Anything online? Just a quick question before we leave the topic. Supercritical water oxidation, what's the total power? So if it's ramped up to what the projection would be as it is implemented, what would be the power usage of that on an annual basis?
If we get to full production, which is where OC San would like to go and have multiple 200 ton per day units, the back of the napkin estimates are that hundreds of megawatts could be available for export. It's a whole different system, but that's a whole different level of infrastructure with a full-blown steam plant after the heat energy and convert it to electricity. So
cogen with that.
Hope is high.
First, I have a quick question. What's the relationship between R&R, your program R&R, and CIP? Do we have that with the GWRs?
Yeah, so and John's our financial guy, but so our R&R program is meant to replace or refurbish existing fixed assets as right. They need replacement. We have a separate program at the Water District, our CIP, Capital Improvement Program, for building new assets or building new projects. And right now, our CIP is mainly tied around building our PFAS treatment facilities for our producers or wellhead treatment facilities that we're building.
So that wasn't part of your presentation today?
No, because the CIP is essentially done for GWRS after 2023 and the final expansion was done. We no longer have an active CIP account or project for GWRS because we're now at our build out. So now we're just budgeting for day-to-day O&M, long-term O&M and refurbishment.
Are we saving a portion of that for future CIP projects?
Well, the R&R program will provide plenty of funding for whatever we need to, as far as repairing our existing infrastructure. Is that
so? It's not really categorical money, then. You can use it either way.
You could if you needed to. There's a lot of flexibility, but if there's a capital improvement project we need in the future, we could borrow money or use existing revenues or go out and site and get grant money. That's what we've been doing for all of our capital improvement projects.
Have you ever considered putting some of the your replacement and R&R money into that you have, that you're not using a certain percent of that for future CIP projects?
We've never considered that. We've never had a need, but I guess that would be an option in the future if we were lacking money for a CIP project. You could raid the R&R fund.
The reason for that is I think all agencies, whether you're a small city or this large city, always could have to go with the unexpected future bears.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And with that, informational item number 3, GWRS operations update.
Yeah, so I have a brief verbal update for that. So
As you see in your packet, we have the information on production, including the production to date graphic. And then we added a second graphic to kind of illustrate some of the flow production issues we've had. This was similar to the update we gave to the Water District Board in February, but I'll try to summarize some of those real quick. Right now, our fiscal year production to date is 84,611 acre foot. That's as of March 31st. And our goal this year was 134,000 acre feet, but we knew we weren't going to make that with the different issues we've had and the precipitation events, as we talked about earlier. So if you look at that production versus outlook graph for 134,000 acre foot, we would be to date 16,000 acre foot short, essentially, of 134,000. So, but we knew that would be the case with the different issues. In this current operating period that this report covers, which is essentially January 1st to March 31st, as I mentioned before, we've had several storm events, including OC San going into that code blue status. And during that time, we suspended taking plant two flows. That was as of January 31st. And then we did have to lower our production down to as low as 80 MGD on February 23rd. That was in response to having all of our recharge basins full, including the two dedicated to GWS water, just not percolating as much as they normally would. And mainly that's because we have such high groundwater levels. We're just not getting the same level of recharge we would when the basin were under a different condition, less full. And then on the 6th of March, we made the decision to fully clean La Palma Basin and Mira Loma Basin, which are the two basins dedicated to GWS water, in an attempt to see if we could at least temporarily increase recharge capacity. And that did work. But in order to do that, we dropped the production even lower to 40 MGD for essentially a two-week period so that we could fully drain, clean, dry out in between rain events. And then that allowed us to increase the production back up over 100 MGD when that was completed, roughly on March 26th. And then we did have a two-day outage during this reporting period, March 26th to March 27th. And that was to accommodate high flow and flow testing for Orange County Sanitation District on the Ocean Outfall Booster Pump Station commissioning. So for 2 days, we did events that we needed done during the outage, and that allowed OC San to divert excessive flow out to the ocean outfall and test the pump station at different flow ranges, which was required. And then coming up, starting tomorrow, essentially, we're going to start taking plant two flows again. OC San's going to resegregate the headworks, which have been desegregated since January 31st, as I said. We'll be able to up production temporarily, but then there's going to be another preventative maintenance project, corrective maintenance project by the San District. This is on the Knott Bouchard valve structure. This is the diversion structure that diverts most of the Steve Anderson lift station flows. So in anticipation of that work to correct some items there, plant one flows could drop as low as 30 MGD for a period roughly from April 15th to May 27th. So in anticipation of that, next week, we'll probably lower our production down between 80 and 90 MGD, try to up our plant two production flows as much as we can, take in as much plant two flows as we can, roughly around 35 MGD. And we think we can sit around 90 MGD while this other maintenance project is getting done and we're having to drop flows from plant one as a result. And then hopefully after that, we'll go back up again and stay there for the foreseeable future. That's the hope, at least. And with that, I can take any questions.
Well, normally, we could save money on power costs, but the power increases are keeping pace.
Right? Yeah, so that's one thing that we're tracking right now is with this low production, even though price is going up, what's it going to do to our final fiscal year 23-24 power budget? Are we going to come in lower than we thought because of it? Or not, that's what we're looking at right now. Chemicals, definitely, we're already seeing, you know, obviously less chemical usage, so that may come in a little lower as well. I mean, I guess that's an unintended consequence of not having places to put the water. And just for perspective, our seawater intrusion barrier is as low as 11 MGD right now. And we're at protective levels, and we even see artesian conditions in some portions along our seawater intrusion barrier. So we're putting as much as we can. It's just nowhere to take it right now.
Any questions or comments? Anything? Okay, thanks. Thank you for the report.
Item number four,
Orange County Sanitation District Plant Number 2 Salinity Investigation Update.
We have a brief presentation from Rob Thompson, OC San General Manager.
I'm red. Is that okay?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this wonderful topic again. When we started the GWRS final expansion and started moving water from Plant 2 up to GWRS, we noticed that there was a significant increase in salinity. We'll just talk a little bit about the impact on electricity usage. So our job was, as a group, Orange County Sanitation District, Orange County Water District, and the City of Newport Beach, to go find where that extra salt water was coming from. We expected to see about 2.4 parts per thousand salinity, and what we found was 3.3 parts per thousand in salinity. So that delta had a big impact on the overall cost to operate. Just for reference, the water at Plant 1 is usually less than 1.5 parts per thousand. So 1.5 parts per thousand, Plant 1. We expected 2.4, and we ended up with 3.3 parts per thousand at Plant 2. So there is a significant increase in salinity. So when we went looking, we did a quick survey, and we isolated two areas, one in Huntington Beach, which is a little smaller, and then this area in Newport, which is on the peninsula. What you can see depicted in the chart are all of the manholes and segment lines throughout the city for what's pictured. OC San has a line which goes from A Street Pump Station in the red box at the very end. That's our first pump station. And we have a line that goes to our 15th Street Pump Station, and then to our Lido pump station, and to the force mains, which bring it to Plant 2. All of those pipes are either new or have been relined in the last 7 years or so. We're quite confident that the leakage that we're talking about isn't at the pump station or the lines. We've done a lot of investigation. They're in good shape. So the second thing we did was to start an investigation of the local service area where the water was coming into our manholes. We then started to backtrack with Newport Beach's cooperation up into the local service lines, looking for the point at which we were getting sort of seawater intrusion. Just to make sure we're all on the same page, the salinity of seawater is between 33 and 35 parts per thousand. So it became obvious the only way we were going to make those significant jumps from normal wastewater, 1.5 parts per thousand, to the numbers we were seeing at 3.3 was from ocean water salinity. So as we started to do the work, we went through 461 local manholes, and we looked from our A Street pump station really to Lido in selected spots. And this is what we found. When you see something in green, it's within what we'd say is a normal range. It still might be a little high, but again, these flows are relatively small to the total flow coming into Plant 2. So it takes a big salinity number to move the overall flow average when it hits Plant 2. So we're starting to look at those dots, which are brown in color, or oranges and reds. You can see between our 15th Street and A Street pump station, we found some hot spots. And we took the time with the city staff to move back up into the local sewer lines and have determined from our perspective that we think there are some cracks in those lines, or in some way seawater is making its way into the local system. Initially, when we started this, we noticed sampling was done at sort of all times of the day based on when crews were available, and usually during work hours. And we could find no discernible pattern. You could take two measurements and find a low number one time, come back 3-4 days later at a different time, take a sample, and you'd get a hot spot. So basically, we came to the conclusion that it must be a leak in a pipe pulling in groundwater at a fairly uniform rate. But if you take the sample during our low flow period, you'll see it on a regular basis. If you take it during a high flow period, you won't see it nearly as high because it's diluted by the domestic sewage. So on the second and third sampling expeditions, they were all done in the middle of the night at low flow. And that's where we found the consistent readings that we're talking about. So we go in the first manhole downstream and then keep moving up, looking to see if it stopped. That would tell you that the leak was between. There were no obvious patterns. It looks like the leaks are more upstream than we got in the area. And we'll take a little bit more effort on the city of Newport Beach's part to do CCTV looking for these leaks and or more sampling throughout their much more extensive network. Additionally, we took the time to look for choke points. So if you're talking about, for instance, Lido Isle, if there were a large leakage coming from Lido Isle, you'd see it at the pump station point where it enters the system. And we found normal levels there. So by kind of using that smart approach, we could eliminate large areas that would save all of that legwork to try and find leaks. The other point that was a bit of a hot spot was right outside our Lido pump station. This area drains into the Lido pump station, and there are some hot spots there also. So bottom line is, I think OC San has chased down what we think is the intrusion points to the point where we're comfortable turning it over to the city of Newport Beach, which owns the lines, and having them continue the work to find and then correct the leaks. We have shared all the information with both the Water District and the City of Newport Beach. We've provided what we think are the targeted sub-sewer sheds to the City of Newport Beach, and we'll work with Newport Beach as we can with any technical expertise that we have. But I think this is sort of bread and butter, day-to-day type things. And I'm sure we'll all continue to work together to get it done. But we'll look for the city of Newport Beach to take the lead and move ourselves to a support role from here on out. And with that, I can answer any questions you might have.
I just wanted to be clear on the number. You said how many manholes were inspected? 400? Yeah, 461. Wow. That number strikes me as high for that area.
There are a lot because they're all short and they're changing directions. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're going to go 600 feet between manholes.
Not a small job at all. Any questions? Yes.
Just curious if any analysis has been done on what the electrical cost savings would be if the salinity was in line with what was anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, we have some preliminary cost estimates, but we haven't been able to validate them because we haven't run long enough at the high flows to get consistent numbers 24/7. But we do have some rough numbers on for every 100 parts per million of salinity increase, what does it do to the kilowatt hours on one RO unit? And we have 27 of them. So we have that roughly. So it's a roughly, it can be as high as around 20% of increased electrical costs if it stays consistently high, meaning our influent TDS rises above the 1,400 milligrams per liter, which is essentially what we designed the whole GWRS final expansion around. It was 1,000 milligrams per liter prior when we had taken only plant one flows, and we anticipated going as high as 1,400 milligrams per liter as part of the final expansion. And we've seen numbers as high as 1600 at times, 1700 at times. But like I said, we haven't run long enough with plant two flow consistently high enough to see what a long-term effect would be, especially seasonally, what it would be on the cost of running the RO.
One other question.
Sure.
I mean, you know where the area is coming from, you know what the strength should be, you know where it's at. So you could do a mass balance to figure out how much water that actually is. I'm just curious if, you know, those calculations were done some time ago with water conservation. Is all of this salinity due to this issue, or is some of it driven by water conservation and just strength in general?
It's very much, I think, driven by the ocean water. I mean, it's such a big number. Again, some of these numbers are over 31 or up to 31. There's no way domestic sewage should be anywhere near 25 parts per thousand. That's almost seawater. 33 would be seawater.
All right, thank you.
Anything further on this item? Any online?
Yeah.
What's a relatively new term to me, a sub-sewer shed sampling. It's a little like she sells seashells.
Yes.
Thank you for the report. And with that, the last informational item is GWRS first quarter outreach report. January through March.
Yeah, so we have a brief PowerPoint presentation from Kira Urquiaga in our Public Affairs Department on the first quarter outreach for 2024.
Thank you.
What do you know how to do that?
We're at the end, so let's. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Good evening. I'm just going to give a brief presentation on some of the outreach efforts that we have had in the last quarter and some of the activities so that you all have an overview of what we've been doing. The GWRS tour program is actually really booming. We are seeing increases in our in-person tours. In the last quarter, we did 27 tours and hosted approximately almost 600 guests. This week alone, we are doing 10 tours, did two today, and we're doing two almost every day this week. So we are definitely seeing the numbers increase. We remain reaching a broad community base, as well as lots of education programs, universities, as well as high school programs. We get a lot of industry organizations attending a tour and requesting tours. And then international, still seeing some activity from international groups. One of the things that's not listed on here that it sort of ties in with GWRS tours, it's not facility tours, but it's our partnership with the Orange County Sanitation District. And we have recently been given the opportunity to host, or OCSAN to host our employees on tours of Plant One. And we've hosted over 120 employees from Orange County Water District over at OCSAN to give everyone the introduction and the importance of our partnership. And our employees love it so much, we are going to try and sweet talk for a couple more tours coming up. So.
I'm going to need a sweet.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. So Speakers Bureau engagements are also picking up a lot more in-person ones. So that's exciting. During the last quarter, we had 12 Speakers Bureau engagements at different locations, different community groups. One of them is the Children's Water Education Festival that was held a couple of weeks ago. And of the 9 Orange County Water District booths that presented to these children multiple times throughout both days, 6 of them were GWRS related. So we were able to share a lot of information with these young students about GWRS. We did a webinar in February that Rob Thompson was able to do for us, and we were very, very well attended. 130 live attendees joined this, as well as many almost 250 recorded views. Our webinar program is very successful, and we will continue to expand that in as much GWRS material as possible. We continue to receive a lot of awards for this project, and continue to actively pursue awards so that we can get the recognition for this great project and partnership. The two that we most recently received are the National Environmental Achievement Award from the National Association of Clean Water Agencies. And then just this past weekend, we were told we won the Community Water Champion Award from the Water Reuse National Association. And we are shortlisted for a couple more, so hopefully by the next report, you'll see those up at the top. Media and stakeholder reach continues to be a priority for us in getting as many stories as we can out there in the media. We had reached 4 million people during the last quarter with various articles that were out there in media mentions. And in addition to that, expanding on that, we have 28,000 followers on the 2 media channels for social media, and that's increasing too. So we're always looking to increase those numbers so that we can get the messages out on social media and encourage things like the tours.
Looking ahead, we have 31 tours scheduled in the second quarter, although I think that number has jumped just today in terms of getting some reservations in. We are continue to offer monthly virtual tours on the first Friday of each month, which gives us the opportunity to reach people outside of the area who would like to tour this facility. So that's been very successful. We are also doing in-person public tours. So rather than just community groups or classes and associations, we are able to meet the needs of individuals who might be interested. And we offer these public tours, open it up to the public. We are currently updating our technical virtual video and general video. So Mehul Patel is going to be the lead spokesperson on this new technical video that we use that is not only used in the virtual tour program, but also on the website for people to view on demand. So that tour video should be completed this week. And a few events that are coming up, the Orange County SANS Wastewater Citizens Academy is being held in April, so that's exciting. The OC SAN Community Open House is being held in June, and we will participate in that. And then we are already planning for the Orange County Groundwater Adventure Tour in October that is open to the general public and typically hosts about 130 people visiting all of our facilities here at Orange County Water District with special emphasis on GWRS. That's it. Any questions?
Thank you for the report. Any questions? Yes, Director Schaber.
Your counterpart, Jennifer. We're gonna
yes. Say,
like when you have a group that tours, do you recommend that they cut and then she reciprocates, right?
Correct. We have a great partnership with your staff and your team. And we do a lot of joint tours where people, especially with the universities and the nursing groups, nursing students, where they go to your plant first and then come directly over here, which gives a nice flow. So we do a lot of that. We work.
And if there's an organization within our agency or cities, we just contact either one of you and then you see if you're available, right?
Yes.
Okay,
ours is listed on our website and people can submit different dates and different options, look at all the different options available.
And the only other thing is I suppose both you and Jennifer have all of your documentaries in a file, right?
All of the videos? Yes, we do.
So I'm chairman of the Public Cable Television Authority. I'd love to tap those so we can get them out to the cities that we serve so that we can show those videos to everybody.
That
and
would
let
be great.
People know what's going on here and across the street.
That would
so
be
I'll,
excellent.
I'll give you a call.
Okay, that would be excellent. And we can coordinate. Jennifer and I can coordinate and do that for sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anything else?
You're just full of good ideas.
Well, I can walk better. I'm feeling better.
No other questions? Thank you.
Seeing none, I'm just, I'm surprised. I wonder if the people who started Water Factory 21 here realize what a major awards winning factory this would be. And it seems like we have a lot of industry and other providers out there who are coming to go to school here on what's been done. Right?
We do. We have a lot of different industries.
It's an amazing success story. It really is.
It's a great program. Great.
Thanks. And with that, we are at director's announcement. Does anyone have anything to share with the committee? No?
I had a chance to go to the OCOG annual assembly that we have, and it was really great because they have a section on water in the future and sharing it with everyone. The head of the CEO of the Water Coalition was there and a couple of other people, and that information's online if you weren't able to attend the function, and the presentations were really well done, especially from a geological point of view.
Mm. Thank you for that. Seeing nothing further, nothing online. General manager's reports. I don't know who goes first here.
Nothing here.
Nothing here.
Quick question. Where's our rain total, our precipitation total right now, John? I haven't seen anything.
I believe it's around 22 inches.
Wow.
Average is just under 14.
Almost might catch last year, yeah.
Really? Yes.
Yep. And nothing about the 70th coming up?
June 8th, we have our open house and a wonderful, hopefully, ribbon cutting for our building. We're still working on making sure it's habitable with a little snafu we ran into with an emergency radio system. Basically, if you have good e-glass, the radio signal won't go into the building, so you have to put a repeater system in the building before you can occupy it. So one of those things you don't design for, you hope that you get the signal, and if you don't, then you pay the price. And we won.
Right. Our next GWRS Steering Committee meeting will be July 8, 2024, and I have an item here, determination of items, if any, to be agendized for that meeting. Was there any recommendation?
No, well, we're planning just the standard, the operations update and quarterly outreach update, unless something else comes up. But April is dedicated to the budget and January to picking the chair, so this will just be a normal one.
With that, we are adjourned.